Hi, welcome to our growth summary of Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. This book shares financial secrets that rich people teach their kids about money, investing, and building wealth. You'll learn how to make money work for you in smart ways, like by investing and owning businesses. And this approach is contrasted to the more traditional path of relying on a job and paycheck. So our first lesson is make money work for you. While most people trade time for money, the rich let their money work for them through business and investing. So this is the biggest lesson from Rich Dad, Poor Dad. As we know, most people work a job, and that means they trade their time for money. But wealthy people make their money work for them. How? Well, that's what this book is all about, but it really comes down to smart investing and entrepreneurship. So, as a kid, Robert Kiyosaki and his friend Mike were teased for not being rich, so they came up with a wild plan to quote-unquote make money. Here's what they did. They collected metal toothpaste tubes, then melted them down in the driveway, and they began making coins. They were making money, literally. Then Robert Kiyosaki's dad caught them, and he was shocked, and quick to point out that what they were doing was dangerous and very illegal. Then he suggested that if they wanted to make money, they should talk to his friend Mike's dad, who was actually a successful businessman. And Mike's dad agreed to teach the boys, making him Robert Kiyosaki's rich dad in this book. Learning from Rich Dad. So the two boys, Robert and Mike, were excited to learn from Mike's father about how to get rich. But their first assignment turned out to be incredibly boring. You see, Rich Dad sent them to work at one of his convenience stores for about 10 cents an hour on the weekends, cleaning the cans on the shelves. Now, even in those days, that was little money. So after 4 weeks of this, Robert wanted to quit in frustration. And Rich Dad hadn't really taught them anything yet. So he angrily confronted Rich Dad, accusing him of ripping off kids. Well, Rich Dad calmly explained that he was teaching the kids, just not through a lecture, but through real-life experiences. And that's the same way that life teaches us. It kind of pushes us around and forces us to learn and adapt. Working hard versus spotting opportunity. The first important lesson Robert learned in that store was how hard most people work for so little money. So right away he knew he did not want to do that all his life. And on its own, that was a very valuable lesson and motivator for a young kid to learn. Rich Dad then taught Robert and Mike to control their emotions around money, explaining that most people are driven by fear and greed, and that keeps them stuck working hard but getting nowhere financially. While most people trade their time for money, rich people look for ways to make their money generate more income for them even when they aren't working. How do they do it? By learning how to spot opportunities, which are all around us, but invisible to most people. So the boys took this lesson and began looking around for opportunities, and it was not long before they spotted one. So at this convenience store, the manager would throw away any unsold comic books after a certain time. So the boys asked if they could keep the comic books. And the manager said yes, but they couldn't resell them. That was against the rules with the comic book publisher. So the boys opened up a comic book library in their basement of one of their homes, and they charged the neighborhood kids a little money to come in and read as many comic books as they wanted after school. Well, soon they were making way more money from this little library than from their actual jobs. And that taught them an invaluable lesson about spotting opportunities and money and passive income. And later we'll see how Kiyosaki applied this whole skill of spotting opportunity to real estate. So this is Rich Dad Poor Dad. Robert Kiyosaki was fortunate to grow up with two father figures, and they had very different views on money. His biological father, whom he calls Poor Dad, was a teacher who was highly educated, but he always struggled financially. But that was his view. He believed in getting a good education and working your way up the career ladder. Job security and benefits were his top priorities. By contrast, his rich dad, who was the father of his best friend, he believed more in self-education and the importance of making money work for you. So, let's summarize the first lesson here. Most people trade time for money. While rich people make their money work for them through business and investing, this is less about working hard and more about financial literacy and spotting opportunity. Rich Dad was the father of Robert Kiyosaki's best friend Mike. He was a successful entrepreneur who agreed to teach the boys about how to make money. Now, there's a more recent best-selling finance book called The Psychology of Money by Morgan Housel. And that book explains more about how the richest investors, like Warren Buffett, think. He discovered that successful investing is less about fancy financial math and more about remaining in control of our emotions, especially during market downturns. Here's a great quote from that book. "Financial success is not a hard science. It's a soft skill where how you behave is more important than what you know." So, if you're interested, also check out our summary of The Psychology of Money. That brings us to lesson two, assets versus liabilities. The key to wealth is understanding the difference between income-generating assets and cash-sucking liabilities. Most people think that a higher income would solve their money problems. But Rich Dad Poor Dad argues that real wealth is about passive income. And to make passive income, we must understand assets versus liabilities. Now, here's why a high income is usually not the solution. If we look at high income professionals like doctors and lawyers, we can see that they generally fall into the same trap as the rest of us. As their income grows, so do their expenses. They buy a bigger house and nicer cars. And that means they're still stuck trading time for money just to maintain their lifestyle. And even lottery winners and professional athletes often go broke a few years after landing millions. Why? Because for most people, more money usually means more spending and more debt, not more financial security. Now, I'm going to connect this to another book called The Millionaire Next Door. It's a great finance book that studies what millionaires really look like. You see, most people think a millionaire drives a flashy red sports car and lives in a huge mansion, but these authors found through their research that your typical millionaire is more likely to be a blue-collar business owner who lives next door and drives a regular Toyota or Ford. So that book makes an important point, that being wealthy isn't about how much money you make each year, it's more about how much money you keep. Here's what those authors said, quote, "Wealth is not the same as income. If you make a good income each year and spend it all, you are not getting wealthier, you're just living high. Wealth is what you accumulate, not what you spend," end quote. And we can learn more about that in our growth summary of The Millionaire Next Door. Now back to this book. Truly wealthy people are playing a different game than income altogether. A game that allows them to even not work at all sometimes and still have money coming in. Here's the secret to how they do it. It comes down to understanding assets and liabilities. Rich people use their money to buy assets. What are assets? Well, they include stocks, bonds, and real estate. An asset is anything that generates income for you, even when you're not working. Kiyosaki uses the example of Ray Kroc, the man who grew McDonald's into a global brand. While Kroc often said his real business was not selling hamburgers, but owning the real estate beneath each restaurant. Poor and middle-class people, on the other hand, tend to buy liabilities. What is a liability? It's anything that drains money, like a nice car, credit card debt, and even your house. Wait, a house is not an asset? Saying that a house is not an asset is probably one of Kiyosaki's more controversial statements. But he argues that since your house usually doesn't generate income for you and requires money to maintain it, it doesn't fit his definition of an asset. Kiyosaki says it's important to question common financial advice and think critically about what we're usually told about money. Most people don't do this, and they end up following the crowd because it feels safest, but as a result, they get very average or below average financial results. So we should start acquiring assets as soon as possible. How do we get started? Surprisingly, Kiyosaki recommends not starting your own business, because entrepreneurship is a very risky path that is not for most people. Instead, he recommends using your regular income to begin acquiring assets. He began building his wealth while working in the Marines and then as a copy machine salesperson for Xerox, and in this way he built enough passive income to be able to retire at 47. To make this work, we'll need to reduce our expenses, avoid buying liabilities, and put that money towards buying assets. Now, what if you want to buy something nice? He recommends avoid buying unnecessary things with your paycheck. See, that's a habit that prevents many people from building wealth. Instead, you want to use your paycheck to buy those assets that will be generating income for you, and then you use your asset income to buy the things you want. For example, after a few years of real estate investing, Kiyosaki was generating enough passive income to pay for a Porsche. So let's summarize this lesson. Rich people get richer by buying assets, things like stocks, real estate, and bonds that make money for them. Poor and middle-class people often end up poorer by spending on liabilities, things like cars and credit card debt that drain money. To start building wealth, cut down on expenses and invest in assets as soon as you can. Now, there's another book called The Richest Man in Babylon, a classic book on money that teaches key principles of financial literacy through these short stories set in the ancient desert. In that book, you learn how to live on less than you earn, how to think critically about financial advice that we hear, and you learn to make gold work for you. This is the book that popularized the expression, pay yourself first, which means to first set aside some money from each paycheck for your savings and investing before you pay your other expenses. So, if you want a solid foundation in personal finance, that book is well worth reading next. You can check out our summary of The Richest Man in Babylon. And that brings us to lesson 3. Don't work just for money. Choose jobs that help you level up your skills and acquire valuable knowledge, not just a good paycheck. Imagine you were offered 2 jobs. One job pays well and is comfortable. The other job pays a little less, but it would teach you valuable skills. Which job would you choose? Many people would automatically go for the slightly higher paying job, but this book says that is a mistake. It recommends to choose the job that challenges us so we can learn new valuable skills, because real-world experience is usually the best teacher. Rich Dad also said it's good to know a little about many things. This is contrary to the education system, which pushes us to specialize, but specialization often makes us more vulnerable to sudden market changes. So Robert Kiyosaki took that advice to heart. His career began at Standard Oil, on a large ship, where he learned about international trade. Then he joined the Marines to develop his leadership skills. After that, he suddenly quit and took a sales job at Xerox, selling photocopy machines. And that helped him to overcome his natural shyness, and he became one of their top 5 salespeople. Now, his poor dad, his biological father, was surprised and confused by these moves. Why would he quit these good career paths to do something totally different? But Kiyosaki knew the important thing was not just job security, but continuing to grow and learn. And all those skills he learned were later invaluable in his businesses. Now, the most important skills are sales and marketing. No matter what you do, you'll need to sell something, whether it's a product, a service, or your ideas. The most important skills to learn are sales and marketing because they let you communicate effectively and overcome rejection. One time, a writer was interviewing Robert Kiyosaki, who is a best-selling author, and she asked him at the end how she could improve her book sales. He told her to take a sales course. She got offended, feeling that sales was somehow dirty and beneath her as a writer. Well, Kiyosaki pointed out with a smile that he was a best-selling author, not a best-writing author. What does that mean? He's not the best writer, but he's a great salesman of his books, and that's how he is a best-selling author. For example, his first book was called If You Want to Be Rich and Happy, Don't Go to School. Well, that's a somewhat obnoxious title, but it got people talking, and that brought attention, interest, and lots of sales. And by the way, Kiyosaki is not actually against education, but he knew that the title his editor had recommended, which was The Economics of Education, would have sold approximately zero copies. So let's summarize this lesson. Many people view work only as a means to earn money, but it's also the best path to acquire important skills and knowledge. Kiyosaki worked on a ship to learn trade, then the Marines to learn leadership, then at Xerox to learn sales. All of these skills eventually proved very useful as a business owner. Now, Arnold Schwarzenegger echoes this advice in his autobiography, where he says sales and promotion were the key to his success in bodybuilding movies and politics. Schwarzenegger defines selling as simply making people aware of what you've made or done. You see, you can have the best product or the best movie, but if nobody goes to see it, then it doesn't make an impact. And you can hear more about his advice for success in our summary of his autobiography, Total Recall by Arnold Schwarzenegger, on Growth Summary. And now let's do lesson 4, spotting real estate opportunities. How Kiyosaki turned $20,000 into $190,000 by identifying unique investing opportunities. There are two types of investors, says Kiyosaki. The first type buys prepackaged investments, like mutual funds, which are pretty safe, but they grow money more slowly. The second type creates their own investments, which offer larger gains, but also greater risks. So, this part of the book is about how Kiyosaki succeeds with the second type of strategy. So, Robert Kiyosaki's investing strategy is this. First, he mostly invests in real estate because it's relatively stable, but he also puts a smaller portion of his money into companies about to launch publicly, like startups. This is a lot riskier. Sometimes he loses his money, but sometimes he makes a huge profit if the company takes off. Why is the risk worth it? Because there's always a chance he might hit a grand slam with this kind of investment, by investing early in the next Facebook. Speaking of which, the first actual investor in Facebook was Peter Thiel, who's now a billionaire. In his book 0 to 1, Peter Thiel said the biggest secret of startup investing is that almost all of the most successful investors in that space have made more money from their one best investment than from all their other investments combined. For Thiel's fund, that one exceptional company was Facebook. In other words, a venture capital investor only needs to be right one time to become incredibly wealthy. And so that's why it makes sense to make lots of these little bets on new startups. But you can read more about how he thinks about business in our summary of 0 to 1 by Peter Thiel. Now back to Kiyosaki. He tells a real-life story to illustrate how he spots unique real estate investing opportunities. You see, many years ago, there was a market downturn in Phoenix, so Kiyosaki went to Phoenix and began looking for homes in that city. He soon found a foreclosed home that was worth $60,000, but he was able to buy it for just $20,000. How did he get such a good price? Well, beyond the downturn, Kiyosaki also makes a lot of offers, expecting most of them to be rejected. Now, with each of those offers, he adds an escape clause in case he later doesn't actually want the deal, says that the offer is contingent on the approval of my partner, but the partner is secretly his cat. And he says that half as a joke to say that we can find ways to make things work and not take this too seriously. Anyway, the Phoenix market bounced back after he bought this home, and he was able to sell the house for $70,000 by running a newspaper ad for it. So that gave him a $40,000 promissory note, which paid 10% interest. So he was making $4,000 per year now in passive income from his earnings there. Then he repeated that process 6 more times, and he ended up with $190,000 in assets that were earning him $19,000 per year in interest. And let's keep in mind, this book was first published over 25 years ago, so these numbers would be much larger today. But that story illustrates that it is possible to get much higher returns on our investments by thinking more creatively about where and how we invest. Kiyosaki found unique opportunities to grow his wealth faster by doing the opposite of what most people were doing. He went and bought homes in areas where prices were falling and people were eager to sell. But most people go wrong by investing without proper education and experienced advisors, leading to costly mistakes. Kiyosaki recommends investing heavily in your financial knowledge. For example, early in his career, he bought a real estate course that cost him $385. That course taught him how to buy property for no money down, a skill that eventually made him millions. So there are 4 key skills for financial intelligence. First is accounting. That means understanding and reading financial statements. Second is investing. That's about buying assets to make money work for you. Third is market understanding. That's knowing supply and demand and deciding when to invest. And fourth is the law, which involves using corporations to accelerate your wealth building. So let's summarize this lesson. We can go for safer, prepackaged investments that grow our wealth slower, or we can look for unique opportunities to do it faster, but riskier. Either way, it's crucial to invest in our financial knowledge and seek out advisors. Kiyosaki turned a $20,000 investment into a significant income through buying undervalued real estate and selling it when the market improved. He went into a declining area and made tons of offers. And now lesson 5, tax laws and corporations. How to minimize taxes and protect your wealth using corporate structures, just like the rich do. So, Rich Dad never liked taxes, and he gave young Robert Kiyosaki a short history of taxes. His view was that when taxes are first introduced, they always primarily target the wealthy, but over time, as government spending increases, taxes always expand to include the middle class. And then what happens is the rich find ways to reduce their tax burden legally, so they end up being less impacted. In fact, governments generally want to incentivize business owners and investors to create more jobs and housing, so they create beneficial tax laws that are often called loopholes. So, in the end, who ends up paying the most in taxes? Highly paid professionals like doctors and lawyers. Corporations offer tax benefits and protections. So, corporations provide benefits that can help you grow wealth faster. You see, most people must pay their taxes first, and then they pay their expenses. But if you have a corporation, you can deduct many expenses first, and then you pay taxes on your remaining income. And this allows you to reinvest more of your money into growing your assets faster. However, in some cases, corporations can lead to double taxation where you actually pay more, so we have to watch out for that. Now, you can also protect your assets better through a corporation, because if someone sues you, then your personal assets are safe, like your home. Kiyosaki recommends Garrett Sutton's books to learn more about setting up your own personal corporations. Now let's talk about the Section 1031 strategy. Kiyosaki spends a lot of time explaining how he uses Section 1031 of the US tax code to grow his real estate portfolio way faster. You see, in the US, you can use something called a 1031 tax-deferred exchange to sell a property you own and then reinvest the money into a new property without paying capital gains tax on the sale. Basically, you can keep deferring capital gains tax by continually trading up to a larger property, and that makes it much easier to grow your real estate assets. For example, in 1989, Kiyosaki bought a small house in Portland for $45,000 with a down payment of $5,000. He rented it out for a year and then he sold it for $95,000, and he moved the profit into a 1031 exchange. This allowed him to afford a larger 12-unit apartment building, and then a few years later, he did it again, selling using the 1031 exchange to trade up to a 30-unit apartment building in Phoenix, which he eventually sold for $1.2 million. So, let's summarize this lesson. Corporations offer us significant tax benefits, allowing expenses to be deducted before taxes. They also shield your personal assets from lawsuits. Strategies like the 1031 tax-deferred exchange in real estate allow you to grow your portfolio of assets faster by deferring capital gains taxes. Our next lesson from this book is the 5 wealth blockers. So here's how to develop a mindset that helps you manage fear, overcome procrastination, and break bad habits. Have you ever known what you needed to do, but you just couldn't make yourself do it? Well, we all have these internal blocks that hold us back from becoming wealthy. So Robert Kiyosaki discusses a few of these and how to overcome them. The first tip is about managing fear. Most people are afraid to lose money investing. Now, while nobody likes to lose money, the reality is that even the best investors face losses sometimes, including Warren Buffett. But successful investors understand that some failure is a natural part of the investing process. The next tip is about overcoming cynicism. Stop listening to critics that only have negative opinions. And we should understand that news outlets, while they can be useful, they often amplify our fear because it helps them capture more attention. Their whole business is selling, advertising, and for that they require more clicks and eyeballs. So here's an example. The most successful investors tend to buy when everyone else is scared and selling. During a market downturn, property and stock prices drop. Now, that may be scary for those people who currently own property and stocks, but it creates a prime buying opportunity for investors who view the situation more as a temporary opportunity than a permanent catastrophe. Kiyosaki also believes that in real estate, you make a profit based more on the price you buy at than the price you sell at. So his strategy relies heavily on looking for great deals, especially during those market corrections and crashes. When he's looking for properties, Kiyosaki often researches the area in person by jogging or driving through it for a year and looking for positive signs of upward growth, such as new retailers moving into the area. That shows him the prices will probably start rising soon. The next tip is about combating laziness. Laziness is another hurdle, and the cure for it, according to Kiyosaki, is a little greed. So instead of saying, I can't afford it, we can ask ourselves, how can I afford it? And this question sparks your creativity and motivation rather than helplessness. Now, there's another great book that continues to be very popular related to self-help and finance, and that is Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. That author studied 500 millionaires to discover common patterns in their mindset that made them wealthy. And he found that rich people, what they do is harness a burning desire for wealth, and then they persist beyond failure. Here's a great quote from that book. "Wishing will not bring riches, but desiring riches with a state of mind that becomes an obsession, then planning definite ways and means to acquire riches, and backing those plans with persistence, which does not recognize failure, will bring riches." End quote. So you can also check out our growth summary of Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. The next tip in this book is breaking bad habits. The most important habit for wealth building is investing in assets. Well, what stops people from doing that? One significant barrier is consumer debt. High debt levels make it very difficult to save and invest. So, by keeping our expenses low and avoiding unnecessary debt, we can begin to afford to buy assets more quickly. And over time, the income from these assets will be able to fund a nicer lifestyle for you and provide financial freedom. As a side note, a great book related to this topic is The Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey, which teaches the snowball method for getting out of debt. So, Rich Dad and Robert Kiyosaki both follow the practice of paying yourself first. This means they invest a predefined amount of money into their assets, even before paying their bills each month. Now, this tip is controversial. Most financial advisors and accountants would say to pay your bills and creditors first. But for Rich Dad, this strategy created pressure, forcing him to find new ways to generate more income. Kind of like how physical pressure at the gym makes someone stronger. And a final tip is to avoid arrogance. Arrogance is the mindset that what we don't know doesn't matter. So Rich Dad said arrogance always costs him money, so it's crucial that we stay humble and continuously seek new knowledge and opinions, even if it conflicts with what we already know. We can do that by learning from books and consulting experts when we don't know enough about a subject. Investing without taking this time for financial education often leads to costly mistakes. So let's summarize this lesson. We must control our mindset to get rich. We manage our fear by understanding that some failure is part of the process of investing. We overcome cynicism by understanding that market downturns contain the largest opportunities. We can combat laziness with a little greed, asking, "How can I afford what I want?" Then break the bad habit of not saving by paying yourself first, and also avoid arrogance by investing in financial education. And now we'll finish up this summary with lesson 7, which is Rich Dad's best advice. This is about 8 habits successful people do every day that may change your life. So in the last part of Rich Dad Poor Dad, Kiyosaki shares a variety of tips related to money, investing, and life. So let's run through the key points really quickly. The first habit is to clarify your goals. Write down what you want and don't want in your life. Your reasons must be strong because the journey won't be easy. Habit 2 is to invest in your education. And this is a recurring theme. So learn about stocks and real estate before investing in them. Most people will not do this. As an example, Kiyosaki learned how to buy at foreclosure auctions while working at Xerox. That was a skill that made him millions and cost a $300 course. As a side note, a great place to start with learning about stocks and investing is The Little Book of Common Sense Investing by John Bogle, which we have a summary on as well. That's a book on investing from the founder of Vanguard, which runs the largest mutual funds in the world. So that's called The Little Book of Common Sense Investing. Now, the next habit is talk to successful people. We can look at rich people to learn what we should do when it comes to money, and look at unsuccessful people to learn what not to do. For example, one time Kiyosaki was in the tax office and he met a woman who invested in tax lien certificates, something he didn't know about. So he invited her to lunch and she was more than happy to talk all about it. Next habit is pay yourself first, which we've mentioned before. Put your money into assets first. When buying a luxury, don't spend your paycheck income or use consumer debt, but only use the passive income from your assets. And this habit will incentivize further saving, because the more passive income that you make, the more nice things you can buy. Next habit is to pay advisors well. Don't be cheap when it comes to your advisors, because the good ones should be making you more money than they cost. Kiyosaki recommends you also make sure they themselves invest in stocks or real estate, if that's what they're advising you about. Next, ask how long. Whenever you're thinking of investing in a real estate opportunity or anything else, here's a critical question. Ask, how long will it take to get my money back? Next, think like a rich person. When you are considering whether to invest, it can be helpful to ask, what would a successful investor do in this situation? And that's true whether it's Warren Buffett, George Soros, or Donald Trump. And to understand how they think and put yourself in their shoes, it can be very useful to check out the books or book summaries that they have written or people have written about them. And a final habit, to receive, first give. This is kind of like a law of nature. Whatever it is you need, whether it's money or a smile, first give it and then you're more likely to receive it. As an example, give to a charity or smile at a random stranger. So here's a summary of the final lesson. To be successful, we should try these tips. Write down your goals. Learn from successful people through conversations and books. Save first, then spend your investment earnings on luxuries that you want. Pay your advisors well. Ask how quickly you can recoup your investment money. Think like a successful investor. And give before expecting to receive. All right, that's all for this summary of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and I'll see you in the next one.